Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 28, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after the program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Please make sure you do this, and if for some reason I don't call you back, sometimes messages accidentally get deleted or something, you can always call back. Or you can also email me from a website which has my email address, which is ELCM@messiahsbranch.org, but the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our radio program archives can also be found over there at prophecyhour.com. And there's also a link there that says End Time Radio Archives, and you click on it, it'll take you to branch.podomatic.com, branch.podomatic.com. Now, both sites are smartphone friendly, and at both sites you can find a way you just click on, and instead of downloading, you can just stream the radio programs. But at branch.podomatic.com, you can download the program if you want to your cell phone or your computer and listen to it later or share it. And I do challenge you to do that, at least share this program with two or three other people. But at branch.podomatic.com, which is the End Time Radio Archives, they do have apps for Apple and for Android over there. So while you don't need to download those apps to listen to the programs, there's a really good way to do it. Anyway, we'll have a prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest will. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, while I'm waiting for our radio guest to get on, we're trying to get a hold of him. I have sent him an email, but we're going to talk about something else, and we might have to have a song or a break or something while we try and get the guests. But first thing I want to bring up to you folks is, did you hear this about the Ferguson protesters? Ferguson protesters, that this article says, is that they want their money. Now, what do you mean Ferguson protesters want their money? It was reported by the Washington Times that most of the Ferguson protesters were actually hired by a spinoff group of Association Community Organizers for Reform. Now, that's ACORN. They called the Missourians Organization for Reform and Empowerment, which is MORE. So the protesters were being paid $5,000 a month to burn buildings and be destructive in Ferguson. Now, doesn't that sound like some kind of a criminal activity? Some of the protesters have not received, this is why we know about it, some of the protesters have not received their paychecks yet, and they sit, they held a sit-in at the Moore's, offices, and posted a demand letter online asking for their money. And so, you know, who is funding for more and other groups that like that support the Black Lives Matter movement? Now, so here goes the picture. Black Lives Matter, right? Okay, I'm not saying they don't. I believe that all lives matter. But it is funded by billionaire and financier liberal George Soros. So what do you think about that, folks? You know, the protests and this destruction. Now, I know in Baltimore, I bet you pretty much the same people from what I heard have been in Baltimore. And now Baltimore's calling for a national emergency so they can get FEMA to pay for their destruction over there. And so I just makes me wonder, well, if the local over there, the protesters, if they were also funded, and if so, if they were funded, wouldn't this, you know, when they destroy property, wouldn't that be, if anybody else was doing it, it sounds like organized crime to me, but wouldn't there be something illegal in this that, you know, everybody involved could be in trouble because, you know, being paid, it's, we do have the right to protest. But do we have the right to hire people to protest for us? You know, that sounds like a criminal activity, especially when places are being looted and there's destruction of property and so on and so forth. So I'm not real sure whether that, you know, what's going on here. Let me know what you think. I think the repayment should start with George Soros. Seems how he is the one that did it. And by the way, George Soros, you know whose ear he has? He has Valerie Jarrett's ear. And who's Valerie Jarrett? That's Obama's, out of his own words, his number one advisor. It's the first person he sees in the morning. And I don't know if he sees her before his wife, but technically it's the first person he sees in the morning and the last person he sees at night. She sits in on many meetings with him. And even though, you know, so what's her purpose? She's the least talked about advisor in the whole White House. And the gift at the White House is everybody's afraid of Valerie Jarrett. So what is this? And what is this strange connection to George Soros? Now I'm going to, I think I really need to check in with my producer and find out if we're going to make a hookup with our guest. If not, we're going to go on with the program. But maybe I could get him to play some sort of song or a commercial or something so we could talk about this. Anyway, I guess he'll give me a buzz or I'll hear something. Otherwise, we'll go on with something. There we go.
Moses went to sea. The bush was burning with the flame. By the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. Take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing, standing on holy ground. Ground, holy ground, they were standing, standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing, standing. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing, standing on holy ground. are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Well, that was a good song. Well, we're going to go on. Apparently, you know, folks, today we were going to have David Silver on with us, and I'm sure we will have him on again. He has Out of Zion Ministries in Israel. And like my producer says, sometimes, you know, when we try to get people on the other side of the world, they either get mixed up to the time that we're talking about or we get mixed up to their time. And so we'll have to make a better connection. So it really doesn't look like he's going to be on tonight. I'm going to talk to you about a few things, and we're going to move along. And don't forget to tune in at Prophecy Hour, which will be coming up at 7 United States time, 7 p.m. Central, that is. And we're going to have Rabbi Zev Porat on with us. I know a lot of you really like him, and he'll be on to talk with us about a lot of things. And so, but in the meantime, I've got some things that I want to talk to you about. Number one, I did a program on Prophecy Hour last week about America burning. And since then, I did some other research and been listening to things that's going on. And I want to real quickly read you some from this article. It says, we'll probably be at war this summer. If we're lucky, it won't be nuclear. Let that sink in. The war word is being increasingly heard as Europe, Russia, China, and the United States adopt new provocative postures. Now, is the world going mad? Military posturing is quietly reaching new extremes in Europe and the Mediterranean and the South China Sea. And the provocative bluster has just reached new heights. The high-profile military analyst and former U.S. Navy War College lecturer John Schindler tweeted last week, said a senior NATO, non-U.S. GOFO to me today. We'll probably be at war this summer, and if we're lucky, it won't be nuclear. Let that sink in. The warning comes as Europe engages in some of its biggest war games right on Russia's front door. Okay, but to back that up, today, just a little while ago, I read another article, and that kind of set myself on fire. Listen to this. United Kingdom begs Russia to spare it in the coming World War III. The Ministry of Defense is reporting today that President Putin ordered his more massive snap combat exercise of Federation Air Forces and air defenses after he received a rambling, incoherent telephone call from the British Prime Minister David Cameron, wherein the UK leader began to apologize for the coming war and pleaded for his country not to be retaliated against with nuclear weapons. During a nearly 30-minute telephone call, this MOD report states, Prime Minister Cameron further related his brief feelings to President Putin that the UK was being pushed into the conflict by the Obama regime, whose adventures in both Syria and Ukraine have cost tens of thousands of lives in order to destabilize the world. Now, let's move on with this a little bit. I got another one for you. Just let me scroll right up here. I'll have it for you in just one second. These things are unnerving. If you keep watching them over and over, you'll see what I mean. These reports of Russian overflights, and now China has built an island and put military weapons on it and is daring the U.S. to, if they interfere, they will indeed go to war with them. But listen to this one. Military drills increase globally. War preparations in progress. What's all this for? Joint and individual military exercises have increased across the globe over the past couple of months, with no sign of these occurrences abating. If anything happens, it appears as full steam ahead. As these events are at an unprecedented level today, they point to potential war preparations, or if not, preparations for an event unbeknown to the general public at this stage. Some important people warn of war maybe this summer and hope and pray it is not nuclear. So let's sum it up. I've got a list here. First up, we've got the ongoing Jade Helm drills across several American states with parallel exercises going on at the same time in Canada known as Maple Resolve involving NATO military personnel in Lithuania. I had a problem pronouncing this earlier on Stan's program, but anyway, Lithuania conducting large-scale drills known as Lightning Strike, okay? Then Norway. We have 10 NATO countries involved in Operation Dynamic Mongoose. Russia and China are involved in a joint exercise in the Mediterranean. And this is not normal for China. They usually don't do it with Russia. The joint warrior exercise going on in Scotland involving 50 warships and submarines, 70 aircraft, also 1,300 personnel from 14 countries. Drills inside of Russia in response to NATO's involvement in the surrounding countries, such as 24 missile interceptors moved into Romania. The Pentagon has also moved warplanes and troops into Bulgaria. In fact, they were hiding them in mountain caves for whatever reason. You fill in the blank. Okay, currently the West, and so there's NATO exercises and troop movements in Ukraine. Currently the West is launching massive military drills in the Arctic with Russia to follow with tanks and armored vehicles as well as air defense batteries soon to be deployed in Russia's Arctic regions. Next, in the Nordic and Baltic regions, the two-week Arctic Challenge exercise following NATO submarine detection drills off the Norwegian coast earlier this month, that's going on, okay? Then back in March, Russia performed a large-scale military drill in the Barents Sea, and that involved 40,000-plus military personnel. The up-and-coming attractions are Japan and Australia are doing joint military exercises in July for the first time. Russia will conduct joint military exercises with India and China in the second part of this year. In addition, this will include troops from Mongolia and Belarus. Well, all of these things going on this summer, and I'll bet you there's some other things going on that we don't even know about. What in the world is going on? I mean, everybody decides the need to go out and practice right now. So, folks, I think it's time that we need to get prayed up. And just like I told you on that other program, I'm not saying 100% for certain that America is Mystery Babylon, but what I am saying is I'm a news watcher. I want, beyond being a pastor, minister, and father, grandfather, going on and on, but I watch the news at least at the minimum a couple hours a day, more like usually 5 to 8 hours a day, and I always have a computer on and the news on, so I know what's going on. I follow it up. I don't just look at one article. If I see an article, then I go to its source and that source and follow the chain down and look for other sources. And so usually I'm pretty knowledgeable. I'm not saying I'm the smartest person in the world, but what I am saying is that I keep seeing over and over and over and over all of these Russian preparations for war. I mean, it's just consistent. They're consistently doing overflights. All the things that you would do to test your enemy's defenses, that's what they've been doing. And they just haven't been doing it as of late. They've been increasingly doing it over a couple of years. And in some cases, some of the things that they have done, I'm real surprised, except not with this administration, that their planes or ships have not been fired on. Well, they may be trying to provoke us to fire the first shot at them so that they can open up with war. Scare tactic? Maybe they're trying to bully the world and say, we're the leaders and don't listen to America, but something is going on. And so you really need to be prayed up and ready because you don't know. There's the point. We just do not know what's going on for sure. And everything is just getting so much worse and so much dense. The only way that you can be safe is to have that personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, or I don't care, Jesus Christ, either one, which are both one and the same. You need to have that personal relationship. That's where it counts. You know, we've been going through the book of Acts at church, you know, rereading it. We don't go through it. We read through it. And this summer's Bible study, we started with the book of Acts, you know, and we're reading all the way through it. And as a reminder, you know, it just reminded me so much how the one thing that they did when they were convicted of sin, they repented. There's a key word, repented, and were baptized. That means they were born again. Their old self died. Their new self manifests itself by allowing Yeshua to live through them. Folks, having that personal relationship, making sure you've made that connection, is the only thing that's going to save you in a time of trouble. And then we have all this towards which we were going to talk about tonight, the Shemitah, and all these other things. We're talking, a lot of people are talking about financial collapse at the end, not only for America, but we're talking about, a lot of people are talking about a worldwide collapse. Now, maybe that's why all of these different countries are posturing and getting, maybe that's what they're getting ready for, a worldwide economic collapse. Because if the economy collapses, this time, from the way I hear it, there won't even be any more Social Security or welfare checks and so on and so forth from payments from the government. So, you know, what are the people going to do? They're going to go out and riot, and they're not going to have George Soros to pay up for it because they'll be doing it on their own. And so they will be going out and rioting. And you think that, not that, look at Ferguson. Look, after the riots in Ferguson and the police are still there, the police aren't doing everything that they should because they're afraid of being arrested technically. But the point is that, not Miss Ferguson, but in Baltimore, the point is that the increased murder rate has just dramatically went up because the police presence is less. Well, what do you think happens if the police stop? Do you think all these criminals are all of a sudden going to be good people? Do you think that your food stuff in a city is going to be safe? You may not even be safe out in the country, but I sure wouldn't want to be in a big city when this time of trouble comes. Now, folks, you need to listen to us on, you go to prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Yeah, you can put the www in front of it. But go over there, check us out, and check out our radio archives at branch.podomatic.com, which you can very simply hit by a link off of prophecyhour.com. Real smartphone friendly. Please share it with other people. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And yes, folks, it's down to the end of the month, and, you know, we're praying that the donations will come in so that we can pay the, like today, I saw my wife over there struggling, saying, well, we need so much money, and it's funny how, you know, we get most donations probably the first week or 10 days of the month. But, you know, when the bills all come due and the shut-off notices, that comes due the last week of the month. And, you know, like now we were talking to the gas company. And we said, well, hey, can we have an extension until, you know, the first week of the month? And, oh, no, we'll give you 1 day extension. So, you know, so the Mission Church gases will be turned off if we don't come up with a couple hundred dollars. But, you know, it's just ridiculous. We have been there through faith for the last 15 years. Yes, things have been very, very tight. And we have a way to get out from behind these things, but it's going to take us a little bit. We're working on a new project, so to speak. So pray for us. Lift us up in prayer. Because we've been going for 15 years. We've helped, over the years, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people. You know, now it's summertime. We have, just like, instance, I saw two new children the other day came in with their father, and he needed also two dinners, he said, for his children at home. So that was five meals that we put out for a family. And, you know, two of the meals were to go. Not a lot of ministries do that either. We give to-go plates. You know, sometimes I feel like a carryout because, you know, we'll get done it. And Tammy, that's one of our helpers, she says, well, it's time for to-go plates. You know, and I always chuckle at that. But then there goes another 25 to 50 plates out the door on top of the people that we serve. And still people coming in even after the food's gone, and my wife makes them something special, like, you know, which is usually she likes hot dogs because she can nuke them, put them on a bun or some bread. We stick Subway bread, and we get donations of Subway bread. And so she takes a Subway bread, cuts it in half, and then splits it, and it makes a perfect hot dog bun. So she makes, you know, hot dogs and gives each person a couple or three, you know, and add something to it if we have it. But we do that. We feed people till they quit coming in the door. And so we've helped thousands of people with food, clothing, shoes. We have a clothing closet that people are consistently in, getting clothing and things. We give away blankets as we can. Right now we could use some sleeping bags and tents and things like that, but we just don't have the money for it. So pray about it, especially if you're one of those folks that live in Wichita, you have some extra sleeping bags or tents or blankets or extra shoes or clothing, things that you don't need, laying around the house, camping gear, bring it by the Mission Church. we will gladly put it into the hands of people that need it. And don't forget Bibles. We use large print King James Version Bibles. You can bring those also. You can get them in Wichita. You can get them at the Dollar General stores. I think they're up to, they may be still 10, they may be 15 now, or you can go to Sam's Warehouse and get, Sam's Warehouse or Walmart and get large print King James Bibles for about the same price. The reason we use large print Bibles is because so many people don't have eyeglasses, and there's still a lot of them are able to struggle and still see the large print on their Bibles. So pray about that. You know, we are out there to be for the people. We set examples for them so that of kindness and love, and those are Yeshua's examples. And so then when they ask for, they need miracle prayers, they come to us. When they want to know about the gospel, they'll ask us. And so we pray with them. We find those things for them. So you pray about that. And, you know, even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. And we are, folks, all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your, where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we'll get into the second half of the program, and I'm going to bring Frank on that does the Frank Report on American Voice Radio. And we're going to talk about a couple of things, some things that I've already talked about. I'll get comments on him on, but I'm going to start him off with something else when he gets on here. You there with me yet, Frank?
I am.
Well, have you heard, let me give you this little brief, and I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about it, if you believe in it or not. It's called the Charlie Challenge, and it's a social media attempt to summon a Mexican demon. I guess they take pencils and put them in a horizontal line and a vertical line, and they put yes and no on pieces of paper under it, and they say, Charlie, are you there? Well, now, Catholic priests have been warning that this brings forth, just like an Ouija board will bring forth demons and things. There was an exorcist online today talking about the same, how it can bring the demonic things on. Personally, I believe that it can bring demonic things on. And these things are being, I don't think it's good and healthy in any manner. Girls, I know the ones that I've seen are tweets from girls to other girls, teenage girls, that are doing this. I think this opens some bad doors. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I'm not sure. I believe that of the Ouija board. I'm not familiar with this thing, but it's interesting because I did see that headline. And have you ever heard of the Hadron Collider?
Oh yeah, we talked about it on radio a couple weeks ago.
Well, now that that has been said that it's going to unleash demons.
Right.
Now I believe that, and if folks want to look up CERN, CERN. And you'll see this lots on it. And, you know, I'm always suspicious of stories like this when I know other things are going on. You know, and I don't know if they're connected and this could be true and it could be separate, but it could also be a cover, an explanation. Because if, in fact, this collider does release, I need to break into my Johnny Cash, I hear that train a coming, don't I? Anyway,
yeah, I'm turning it down.
Anyway, if let's just say they run this this collider, and let's say it does open up some dimension to where demons are held, and they do start getting on the earth, and people start noticing that, oh my gosh, well, they've got a cover story. You know, they've got this. Oh well, it's because everybody on Twitter's putting pencils in a line and saying a couple words. It could be that also. So I don't know what to think of it, but I did see it, and my first thought was, they like to misdirect people's attention. They like to have cover stories. They never, ever want to tell the truth. They would never, ever want to say, oh, oops, we ran an experiment, and, gee, golly, we're really sorry. We released all these demons onto the earth. You know, they would never want to say that. So yeah. They could create a cover story ahead of time. And so when if people do start seeing it, they can just say, oh, yeah, see, we told you it's those Twitter people calling demons out. It's not us, though. It's not us, Dan. It's those Twitter people.
I got two things for that. And number one, CERN, I absolutely believe in, and I do believe it. They are trying to open a door. In fact, folks, if you go back about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago or so, you'll see a program we did on it. But you know, they did fire that CERN up once, Frank, and it was their test. And when it did, it was the same way as that same time exactly as that earthquake happened in Nepal. And this thing, people need to look it up. This thing is just crazy. It could, you know, what's the name? Stephen Hawking, you know, that crippled guy that claims to be one of the smartest people in the world. He used to be on board for the CERN collider until the last time that they shut it down, you know, a couple of years ago. And he's been raving about it ever since and said that these guys are going to blow up the universe. They don't know what they're doing and they shouldn't be messing with it. And when they shut it down the last time, there was a report coming out from somewhere that they were talking about that they saw, somehow or another, I don't know exactly how they saw it, but they saw demonic beings in this CERN.
Huh.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Well, but, I don't, yeah, you know, I don't disbelieve it at all. I mean, these, you know, and we read, gosh, you know, we read Daniel, Revelation, Isaiah, you know, we read all these end time prophecies in the Bible, and, you know, for a long time people wonder, well, how could that be? How could this be? I wonder how that's going to be. You know, I wonder how this could happen. Well, you know, now we're starting to see some possibilities at least. You know, and I'm not saying, oh, yeah, this is definitely or that's definitely, but right. They are possibilities that we should keep, you know, keep aware of that, hey, you know, these possibilities could create the very, you know, circumstances that we've read about in the Bible. Now, then the question comes, well, are these coming about naturally and the Bible was just, you know, the revelators were just, you know, perceiving it? Or are these people in charge using the Bible as a playbook to make things happen similar to in the Bible?
Yeah.
Not that it matters, you know, because right, once it's right. Going on, it's going on. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, there's a lot of questions. We're in a real interesting time.
Well, and it gets more and more interesting. You know, switch to something else, and then I want to ask you about the protesters. Did you hear about all those motorcycle people getting shot at?
Oh, absolutely. I actually reported on it last night. It was the ATF in Waco, Texas. They ambushed them basically based on an anonymous tip.
Okay,
nobody shot at the police. Nobody shot at each other.
Paragraph. Let me read the small paragraph, okay. And then I want you to comment on it because you're right on Brent's right on. Anyway, this came from an article, but it says, what else we know? At least 22 police officers already present at the scene to monitor a meeting between the Confederation of Clubs and Independents. New statements by Sergeant Swanton revealed that 14 members of the Waco Police Department opened fire. All 14 been placed on administrative leave. I heard they were on roofs with sniper rifles. Anyway, yep. The police affidavit indicates that there are at least 4 fatalities killed by the police. Security video shows most of the 200 bikers were fleeing for their lives. Video shows 0 shots were fired inside the restaurant. Video only shows one biker fired only one round from the restaurant's patio. The officers present included a full uniformed SWAT team with fully automatic assault rifles and an MRAP. The police affidavit said the fight broke out in the parking lot involving as few as 6 people. No, I do know this. The fight broke out inside, and they took it outside to settle their small little fight. This fight escalated to shooting. by the police. Police have not explained how a fight involving as few as six people led to over 20 people being shot, nine fatally. 68% of the 170 people arrested had zero criminal records. 32% of the bikers arrested have a Texas criminal record, but the most common charge seems to be simple possession of what, Frank?
Pot. Marijuana.
Marijuana. Anyway, Texas is either expected to decriminalize that. That's something okay anyway. Three of the 170 people arrested were listed as co-authors of a motorcycle safety bill that was just passed the Texas House of Representatives. And let's see, you know, four of the people killed have no criminal records in Texas. Yes, and one is a 65-year-old decorated Vietnam veteran who is not a member of any motorcycle club. So tell us your report on this.
Well, it's pretty much all that. The only difference is I don't hear anything in what you're reading about the ATF being there.
No, but they were. I think
they were. Yes, they were.
Yeah, I think they planned it. Actually, let me say it like this. You know,
ATF in Waco again?
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody pointed to that. But let me say this for the folks. Basically, what you had going on here, I read in other articles that this gathering has been a gathering there every Thursday night for 18 years at this bar. There's never been a shootout. And once in a while, there's a little fist fight, and that always just goes outside, and it's settled simply. Well, the other article that I read said that they were the police were expecting an invasion to crash this event of a biker group called the Spiders. Now, the Spiders, the only place there's a bike group called the Spiders is in that Clint Eastwood movie, you know?
That's right.
Those were the Spiders.
The Black Widow gang.
Right. And so, in anticipation, the ATF was there and called in the local police, and they were staked out on the buildings in sniper's position. So when this fist fight came outside, they opened up. And that's what happened. And, you know, they did talk and interview the waitresses. Everybody there couldn't wait for the bikers to be there every Thursday because they got good tips. The bikers were very courteous and so on and so forth. This wasn't some big outlaw plan gathering to shoot everybody. This was a massacre. But the question is why do you think, Frank? Do you think they're trying to scare the bikers, which are people that avidly have guns, you know what I mean, as a gun takeaway thing? Or what do you think it is? Why do you think they pulled this?
You know, I have no idea, honestly, because, I mean, for one, if it happened in a liberal gun-grabbing state, I would say, yeah, that might be it. But this is Texas, and, you know, no matter what happens, they're not going to go after, you know, they're not going to start grabbing guns in Texas. That'll be the last place they go after everybody's guns. You know, but then again, what just keeps grabbing me is Waco, 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 Waco. Now, ATF in Waco again do another massacre. You know, I don't know why, and I asked this question on my show that I don't know if the local ATF hierarchy is a bunch of Satanists that are just, you know, they're compelled to do some sort of human sacrifices now and again, or what their problem is. But the ATF office in Waco, Texas needs to be not only shut down, every last one of those pieces of garbage needs to be put in a jail cell. And I'm being nice because I'm on your show and I don't want to call for anybody's execution. But they should at least be put in a jail cell for the rest of their days. Actually, I'd say put them in the general population.
Yeah, that would be get what you said there a minute ago.
You know,
population. I really don't think there ought to be ATF, period. And there's even some politicians that have came forward and said that. Not that I trust politicians, you know, but the point is I don't believe that there's a real need for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. In fact, they were about to be shut down when the Waco raid happened, and that was all about to get them more funding and show that they were relevant And they were needed, and then we had a Waco massacre. I don't know what this is all about. I really don't.
Well, and there was also a problem with shutting down the ATF because they're civil servants, and people might not be aware that this is not a regular job. This is a job that basically you cannot be fired from. I mean, you gotta rape a small child and kill your mother to get fired from these jobs, okay? When they shut down your agency, okay, most places, look, if you're working at a business and it goes out of business, you go find another job somewhere.
Right.
Not in the government. If you're in the ATF and they decide we don't need the ATF anymore, they've got to find all those ATF employees other jobs within the government. The problem was, none of the other agencies would take any ATF agents because they said they're so poorly trained, they've got such a bad attitude that they don't want them in their agency and they won't take them.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. And I know at Waco they were about to shut them down and there was a lot of talk of it. But yeah, you're right about civil servants. They're supposed to put them in another place, and you know it takes a lot to fight. That's one of the things that we should. I don't know if you heard Carrie Fiorina talk yet, but I like a couple of things that she said. She's a Republican candidate for presidency, and I doubt very seriously she gets the nomination. But she says that the government agencies should all be. They should change all that, and they should run it like a business. You know. People get raises on their merits and get funding by their merits. In other words, if an agency messes up, they aren't going to get enough funding next year, and so on and so forth. And so I really like her idea. But, you know, lots of luck with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Everybody seems to talk good, and then they go get elected, and they aren't able to do anything.
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, Dan, with public, you know, this has gone insane with public employees. There, for one, there should be no public employee union. You know,
yeah.
that shouldn't be allowed. And plus, public service should not be a career, okay? And they shouldn't get paid more. As a matter of fact, they should get paid less than the private sector because public service was supposed to be something you did, you know, as a service to your country, and it was an entry-level thing to where, hey, you know, I'm going to go work for the government until I can get a real job, right? And
yeah.
I'll work there a couple few years, and then I'll go get a real job and get on with my life, you know?
Right.
But now it's become, oh, no, man, I got to get that government job so I can be there for life, and they can never fire me, and I'll get paid twice as much as doing the same thing a janitor that works for the federal government gets paid twice as much as a janitor working for any corporation.
Wow.
You know, and that goes on through every skill set that the government has, every job description. Same job description in a corporation, the federal government's paying twice as much.
Well, I wonder what they give for a minister. I'm joking.
Well, they probably pay you twice as much, except you're not allowed to say the name Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking anyway. I wouldn't do that, folks. But I do want your take on the Fergus protesters and this money. You had a little different angle about how they were getting paid than I brought up. So but let's talk about that. We got about 5 minutes, I think.
Well, it was an angle that I had read about while it was going on. And it was reportedly interviews with some gang members in Ferguson who were claiming they were being paid by the Justice Department through Eric Holder. Now I find it interesting that basically them being paid is not even at issue. It's a foregone conclusion that, yes, they were being paid, but they say now, well, Soros and these organizations. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the Justice Department funneled money through these organizations, which is what I do suspect. You know, I suspect that what's gone on is the Justice Department probably made some grant or something to these community organizing organizations with the understanding that you're going to use that grant to pay these protesters. And probably why the protesters haven't got paid is because these organizations are fundamentally corrupt, and they probably took all the money and spent it on themselves and didn't have anything left over from the grant to pay the protesters.
Yeah, that sounds plausible. But let's go with this. With the, they paid them to protest. The protesters, the protest was the cause of the destruction. So this property was destroyed. People were hurt. You know, that sounds like a criminal, you know, like kind of like organized crime. What do you think?
Yeah, they call it community organizing. But, yeah, it's a crime.
But right. But if it was anything else, if you had, if I paid you to go protest someplace and you tore something down, wouldn't I be responsible for what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's called inciting a riot. I mean, and that's not legal. It's never has been, even before the Patriot Act and such. But now it's gotten even more harsh. I mean, we could actually call whoever is paying these people a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But they never do it because it's the left.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, what, why? Okay, so let's see. George Soros, let's just say it was him. I honestly do believe that it was a Justice Department grant through these organizations, but it could have just as well been Soros. But I do know that Soros did pay for the Occupy Wall Street thing.
Process,
so,
right.
Okay, so that shut down businesses, and okay, they didn't. Not that I know of, they didn't really do any real bad destruction. I'm sure there were some, you know, incidents. But how is this man not a terrorist?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and, well, and if it's shown that he did pay these protesters, I mean, that certainly could be categorized as funding a terrorist organization or funding individual terrorists. I mean, come on. And if the Justice Department is funding these organizations that are therefore turning around and paying rioters, because they're not protesters. They weren't protesting in Ferguson. They were rioting.
Right.
You know? And so you're paying the rioters. You know, and people wonder, well, now, wait a minute, why would the Justice Department do that? Why would the government do that? Well, it's
so
simple.
Okay, what is their overall, let's say that the Justice, I believe it is the Justice Department, the government, the people under and around Obama. What's the purpose of it?
Well, my view on the purpose of it is, and it's not just this, and you people might say, well, that's crazy, that never happened, but it's already happening.
Out.
It's already happening because in Connecticut, they disbanded all the sheriffs in Connecticut. They no longer have sheriffs in Connecticut. And the bottom line is the Justice Department, look what they've done after Ferguson and Baltimore. They say, oh, well, you know what? And what's his name there? Sharpton's out there saying, oh, you know what? The federal government needs to come in and disband every local police department in America and federalize it.
So they're headed to a national police force. Okay, well, we got to go. I only got a minute left, so you be blessed. And
thanks.
I know you'll be on with me again. Thanks for being on. Folks, that's the Frank Report on ABR Live on American Voice Radio Network. Anyway, folks, we must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. And always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.